hot tub.
I'm sitting in the hot tub with Dawn, and I'm going, and I mean, and it's down on Manresa Beach, and it's a 10,000 square foot home, and there's, you know, I mean, it's
after the shift came in. Huh?
Yeah. Remind me to tell you about the time you drove up, I mean, the day after the IPO. we're sitting in the hot tub, and I said, wow, this is great. Did you foresee this? I expected him to say no, because we'd worked together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. On the day that I opened that office, I knew the whole thing.
Mm.
All of it? Well, a few details were out of the way, but no, I saw the whole thing, and I was stunned, because I'd always figured, okay, John and I are the same guy,
right?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, he's skinny, good looking, very charming. I'm a recluse and fat, but we're the same guy. No, we're not. That's the day that I realized that we weren't the same guy. Right, to have that vision,
yeah,
of all of it, the Virus Industries Association,
yeah,
going out,
yeah,
and getting a PR firm, right?
Right.
Finding somebody who would write a book, somebody, you know, all of those things were plotted out like he was playing Go, and that's what he said to me in the hot tub.
Right.
I saw it all, and I played a game of Go. And he always used to kick my ass when we played golf.
Right. Right.
He's very good at it. Right?
Wow.
Because he put stones out way out there. What the hell is he doing out there? And that's how he did these things, right? Me, and he put the plan together, and he did it. And I admire him for it, and he deserves every penny he got for it. All right? It doesn't change the fact that you make a realization on that day that you don't have the same kind of,
yeah,
abilities. I never saw that.
The future.
Well, you come face to face with the realization that I have lived my life along the path of least resistance. That's what I've done. And I've been very lucky at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
In the right place at the right time.
Right?
Yeah, many times.
I got out of the Army. I was a crypto repairman. Well, the crypto machines at the time were the first mini computers.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So here I am, trained on something that's going to take over the world. Right? Coming out into the workforce at the PDP-80.
PDP-80, yeah.
Right?
Or, yeah.
What is that?
PDP-8E was the first.
8E.
8E was the first mini computer that could be shoved into machine tools, telephone switches, you name it. And there was maybe, I don't know, 800 guys who understood what one of the things was,
mm-hmm,
right? In the whole country. And I was.
Yeah, and you lived in Silicon Valley, I mean, at the right time.
No, at the time, I lived in Ohio.
In Ohio, okay.
I worked for Warner and Swayze, one of the oldest machine tool companies in the country. When I got out of the service, I kicked around I went to the theater, I trained my voice, mm-hmm, I did poetry stuff.
Wow.
Right? And then when I went, I'm poor. I can't do this anymore. I'm poor. Because I had worked for Westinghouse, because I had worked for the military, I went to Warner and Swayze, who was trying to take these first machines and put them into punch presses and,
mm-hmm,
end turret lathes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew how to interface one of these things to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that, is living life along the path of least resistance, right? Oh, I need a job. I go here. Oh, this is what they're doing, and I'm lucky, right? When I went out to Tinsley Laboratories, I interviewed for the job. Well, what do you know about optics? I don't know anything about optics. You know, years before, I had worked at the Westinghouse Research Facility for Troike.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I actually worked for Choice. So I walk into Tinsley Laboratories. What do you know about optics? I know nothing. And I walk into this room. It has the largest Choice table I have ever seen, which is a measuring device in optics to do, you know, the thing is flat. And it was and it's got axes and it's got motion and it's for measuring really high end optics. So I walk into Tinsley Laboratories after having told Charlie Peake that I didn't, you know anything about optics, yet they were making optics for Viking, mm-hmm. right? And I walked in and went, wow, that's the biggest Troike table I've ever seen. And they went, well, you said you didn't know anything about optics. And I said, I don't, but I worked for Troike for 18 months. So I had a job, least resistance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they had an IBM System 7 that they wanted married to a precision profiler, right, to make these lenses that Brad Olin designed, and Ev Baker, who was the guy head of manufacturing, said, no, I don't think we can do that. Right? These tolerances, nobody's ever done that. Right? And which is quite a thing for the most accomplished optician in the world to say. Right? And so Charlie Peake was given the task of putting together a team to do this. Mm-hmm. We had to put it in a temperature controlled room, the whole nine yards, right? Holographic encoding, feedback, and we had to watch the wheel. It's not something I wanted to talk about. This is not something, but at any rate, that was this. I worked for Westinghouse. I went to the theater. I came out, fell in with the aerospace. Mm-hmm. Because I fell in with aerospace, I met Jim McAfee. Went to work for Lockheed, right? Lost my account because of Morris. Mm-hmm. Right? Found my way to... Well, first I went to Portal because it was the first one. First commercial internet service provider in California.
Portal.
In Cupertino. Right? And it had a horrible interface. God. And everybody and all of us there were, I assume most of us were aerospace workers or Apple workers. Right? And I told you, I worked from...
Portal people.
I lost my track again.
Well, you're talking about working at Portal, and you were assuming everybody at Portal knew something.
I'm assuming that they were all engineers, and they all complained about the interface. And when I just couldn't take the interface anymore, path of least resistance, I went and said, Chris.
You D&D players, you know what you're doing. This works way better.
I said, you need to provide commercial access to Usenet news groups and email. And he went, sure. No big deal. What news groups? And there were eight on the list, the first list. Records Poems was one of them. Mm-hmm. B.A. Mountain Folk was another.
Bay Area Mountain Folk?
Mm-hmm. And then within days it was 18, and then it was 24, and then it was, as
groups. These are all different special interest groups.
Mm-hmm. This is before the browsers came out, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was telling her. We were arguing, Chris and I, about the web was finally here. The only browser was Lynx, complete text based.
LINX.
Yeah.
LINX.
Yeah.
I bet it still exists, too.
People still use it.
So there was an argument. Not an argument. It was a discussion. We're going to put it. We're going to do Gopher, Race and Gopher, or we're going to put up this web server? Well, you know, let me take a look at this and bounce around the web on this link thing.
And web servers was TCP/IP, or that wasn't here yet?
Yeah, that's why I went and I looked.
Now we're back to the notes.
Okay, TCP/IP was 84.
It's 84.
That's when, 83. That's when NCP was replaced by TCP/IP, and that's when the split of DARPA, of ARPA, moved, the military was thrown out. Well, not really thrown out. MILNET happened.
So they got the room and left the remains for the public.
Right. And left the remains for the universities. Mm-hmm. And but the first newsreader switched from. I'm going to back up because the first newsreader was 79. Right? Or no, the first Usenet news groups. The newsreader was had it here. Must be on a different page. Ah, okay. First newsreader was 81, Glickman. Glickman and Horton. All right, Rosa. All right.
Now, this is the kind of stuff that was like flowing by on a little strip at the bottom of a screen at fax speeds. That's what you're talking about, the newsreader?
To be able to read newsgroups.
The first newsreader, I think it was called Pine. Wasn't it Pine?
Pine was the email program.
Oh, Pine was email, so.
From University of Washington.
Yeah, that's right. We use Pine, of course.
Yeah.
VI, Emacs, and Pine.
Yeah.
I know there were macros and
you could use Emacs to read news.
There were macros and Emacs to read news, but the first news reader, God, what was its name? I'll go looking. But that was 81. Mm-hmm. The first Usenet news groups were set up in 79. .NET, or .NET, MOD, and FA. All right. And it was the great renaming in 80 that happened from July of 86 to March of 87.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge flame war.
A flame war. Okay.
Well,
I was in a huge flame war in 85. I was in that flame war at USC. Yeah.
About which people should be, about which groups, you know, how it should be structured, right? There was a lot of acrimony over the three things. You know,
Net,
rec, art, homes, right?
Yeah,
that was
remember
too awkward, and people didn't like talking
and
all that.
Yeah. It's all of the petty personalities of you know, hey, I think it should be done my way, right? And there were, and believe me, everybody has these egos, right?
Even though it means recreational arts, poetry.
There are
somebody wants to be in control.
To this day. Right? To this day, there are people who don't understand that the rec in Rec Arts Poems stands for recreation. You try to get it across to them, hey, look, guy, calm down, we're here recreated. Oh.
Yeah. Right? I remember I was on a VAX 750 at USC going through all those flames in 85, 86. Yeah. Right. What's going on? I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, it was too cumbersome.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you page down, and just acres and acres and acres of writing.
Of people basically, you know, you moron, why?
I'm thinking, I had a job then, and we were getting our news from Reuters and Wall Street Journal and Associated Press. I'm pretty sure we all had news here. Right?
Well, this was.
But that wasn't like 86.
But that's real news.
Oh, that's not what you're talking about.
This is
nerds on various online systems writing stuff.
Okay, all right.
The first bloggers, need we say?
That's literally the truth.
Yeah.
The first...
The well, conferencing at the well was very similar to this, but it was in its own world.
Right. And that's where it came from. I mean, there were all of these bulletin boards, MUDs, B&Bs, the well, you know, and interest groups. There was a bulletin board, right? It was located somewhere like in Ohio or something like that, that, you know, people who loved James Joyce would log in over data lines, I mean over telephone lines, and discuss James Joyce.
So these are threaded chat rooms, kind of, huh?
And thank God local calls were free, because all these people would be bankrupt.
Right. No, that's but I mean, yes, little special interest things happen, right?
Right.
And okay, now we can turn these off, because I want to talk about poetry.
Poetry. We're coming to poetry. But where was the first? What was the first poetry on Usenet or on?
The first poetry that on online in virtual worlds, right, that I know of, was Fido 13.
Fido 13.
Right? I think it was Fido 13. It was Fido something. It was a low number, okay? And it was out of Mountain View, and it was called Crossroads.
Crossroads. What year?
Right?
80-something.
Early
80s.
84?
It had to have been
82, 83.
Yeah. Right. Wait a minute. I did take a note on the
Crossroads.
No, not on Crossroads. On the, nobody remembers Crossroads.
As we also note here, JJ did the first poetry reading in a avatar in a multi-user 3D virtual world in 1996.
Ward Christensen did the first Fido in 78. So by 80, I guess it was 82 or 83, there were still only a few, and they were all located here in California, I think.
The FIDO numbers were like the number of the server?
And the number of the, I'm FIDO 1, I'm FIDO 2, I'm FIDO 3.
So that was a physical machine, physical machines? Yeah.
And, well, it was all telephone, right? There was no...
Like, you had a phone number, you put your computer so that it would pick up and it rang.
Right.
And
there you are.
You know, they mirrored, Fido mirrored the UUCP.
Right.
And that's why they needed numbers. Oh, did I get stuff from Fido 12? Okay, I did. And forget that, right?
So they were going around like the Googles and just kind of seeing what was there, copying it to their server, and then moving to the next one.
Right, and everybody was doing the same thing. There were big companies doing it too. Prodigy,
right?
Sears Roebuck. Sears Roebuck was Prodigy. I think.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. There was another one around because people were looking for them.
Yeah. So, I was into, I was into getting my poetry out as many people as possible at a common man level. I hate using that term, but you know what I mean. I wanted it out of the universities and out of the, because I had these, I have a good friend, his name is Robert Swart, and he's, and 100 years from now, people are going to be reciting his poetry. He's the epitome of, he studied with Meredith. I studied with Meredith. He studied, but he's got advanced degrees. He's won Guggenheim. He's been nominated for Pulitzers, blah, blah, blah. Okay? He's one of the guys I want to interview for this, because he's one of the first people to come to the internet, right? The first.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right.
Yeah, because when we did this, not only did I go out and get you guys.
Right.
Right? I tried to get Ferlinghetti, right? They wouldn't even see me, right? I look at it in hindsight, he owns a bookstore. What are you doing, Jay? I'm trying to eliminate paper. I'm trying to eliminate paper, and he's trying to sell it. I understand where he's coming from. Maybe Matt for a couple of years, though. I wouldn't need any of his work.
Oh, he missed out, man.
And he was mad at him and everything, right? Because he wouldn't even meet with me.
Well, right? Celebrity status, that's and, a lot of people would probably chase him down, Jeff.
So anyway, we'll finish up the history of poetry on the net, and then we've got to talk about the future of it.
Well, we can turn this off. I'm going to talk about plans here.
Okay.
Right?